What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets. We are about to preview the Baltimore Orioles as we inch closer to first pitch in the MLB season. Chris Meaney and MLB Dream here with you. We're going to break everything down from a betting angle, from a fantasy baseball perspective. We're going to show you the key players from Baltimore, where they're going in fantasy baseball drafts, what it means for your upcoming draft. If you're looking for projections, rankings, a draft kit, we got you covered over at FTNFantasy.com from our guy, Vlad Sedler. We have a promo code right now, Seager5. Absolutely everything from draft content, from strategy pieces, from rotisserie leagues, head-to-head, high stakes. Vlad has his own projections and rankings and a lot of goodness over there. And Dream and I are going to take care of you throughout the entire MLB season. Of course, you're well aware of Dream's work, crushing it over at FTMBets.com over the past couple of years. With some future picks already in the tracker. If you are looking to be part of the family from a betting angle, FTN Wins is the promo code for you. Dream, we're starting here with the Baltimore Orioles. We're not going to talk about any other teams inside the AL East. Maybe one or two here throughout the Orioles. We'll have other team previews on our FTN Network YouTube page to make sure you are subscribed. But Baltimore, man, like, they are here. They are here. Last year, I remember telling you that they have arrived. And I feel like you were just like calm, cool, collected, not really like getting a super excited, but this was a team last year that they arrived maybe a lot earlier than some people anticipated. As you see some of their odds, I've used the Prop Shop free tool, link inside the description of this video. By the way, the guide is linked inside the description of this video as well to check out. But using the Prop Shop to get the best possible number, there's been some movement lately as we're recording here mid-Feb. On the win total, I saw some 92, some 91s, 89.5 here. They are plus 235 to win the division. They're not the favorite. Of course, the Yankees are the favorite, whether you buy into that or not. The AL pennant, 7-1. The World Series, 15-1. Dream last year, man, it must have been a dream for you. 101 wins, 61 losses. They won the AL East. They had the first round bye. Unfortunately, they did get swept by the eventual World Series champion, Texas Rangers. I'm a big believer in, you know, you got to learn to lose before you learn to win. I know like that gets tossed around a little bit in sports, but they certainly have a really nice core. What's the expectations, do you think, in Baltimore? Obviously pretty high. And we'll just start right with that win total. Like, do you think that this is fairly low for a team that rattled off over 100 wins last year, and now they have an ace in Corbin Burns?
Yeah, I think if we recorded a couple days ago, I would say let's smash that over 89. But with the injury to Bradish, I kind of feel like they have another void now at starting pitcher. So the Burns move is great. I don't want to say they're back to where they started before they got Burns, because Burns is obviously better than Bradish, but I feel like they're not that far off. I'm not touching that total. I think even if you might wait a little bit, you might even see a little bit of under money come in there as well. But the expectation in Baltimore, at least in the clubhouse and the team, they're expecting to, you know, win the division once again. Like you mentioned, it's a real young core. A lot of them learned how to, you know, they played it together a ton in the minors. But yeah, they need to learn how to win together now at this level. But yeah, now that I do lean over on that 89, like you said, there are some other 91, 92s out there, but I don't think I'm touching that team total.
I like the division. I like this squad a lot. I just think that they're just scratching the surface, right? I mean, the Bradish injury is tough, as you alluded to. You see her on the board again. We're recording mid-February. The ADP for Bradish has been 89 on average from the start of February to the middle of February. Talking with Vlad, he expects them to drop down to roughly pick 200. The word out of Baltimore is that it's a UCL tear. He had an RPR injection in his right elbow, and he plans to pitch through it. We'll see how that works out for him, but this guy was awesome last year in the second half, a league best ERA in the American League, 2.34. He was absolutely fantastic. But again, like, I just feel like they are scratching the surface with some of these guys like Henderson, Rutschman, Rodriguez. Expect like a bump in, you know, in terms of innings and usage this year. Mountcastle going as pick 240, I think, is a really good pick towards the middle late part of your draft. He has a lot of power. And Jackson Holliday, what do you expect here? Like, a lot of projections have him for 500 plate appearances. Is that fair? Is that a fair number? He's living in the 400 to 500 range here.
That might be a little on the high side. I don't expect him to break camp with the team. I know they're going to give him a lot of opportunity at second base in spring training. So I think he'll be one of the last guys, you know, sent down to the minors, but I'm not expecting him to break camp with the team. I mean, and you mentioned we've seen a lot of fluctuation with the Orioles numbers over the last couple weeks with the addition of Burns and then with Bradish going down yesterday. I think they're calling it just a sprain for now, but I mean, again, more often than not, this ends with Tommy John. So we'll see about that. But you mentioned the offense, man. I mean, I love Mountcastle. I just imagine him at like somewhat of a neutral ballpark to right-handed hitters, and he would be mashing. And I feel like he'd be, you know, a household name there. So that wall in Camden definitely hurts him. But this lineup has a lot of pop. But as far as Jackson goes, I don't expect him to kind of like emerge or kind of be a guy until probably next year.
Yeah, you see the ADP 194. It's not like a lot of people are really reaching on him in fantasy drafts. I mean, Keeper League Dynasty is another story, of course, going to go a little bit earlier. You mentioned the ballpark. I want to just, what did you see differently from last year or from 2 years ago to last year? You know, of course, the home runs went down, but it was a plus, I think, for the pitching staff and the bullpen in general.
It really was, right? Like, I don't want to say it's obviously not impossible to give up a home run at the left field, but it's incredibly difficult. And actually, I've been looking at pull rates for the Orioles hitters and looking at the splits between home and away. And even a guy that like Mountcastle, who I was probably a little bit too hard on, like he's consciously not pulling the ball as much at Camden because it's going to take a lot more to actually get that ball out of the yard as he is on the road. And I mean, you know, it's a lot of their hitters have pretty drastic splits when it comes to their pull percentages. It's a pitcher's park. And I guess right now when you have someone like Cole Irvin penciled in as your five and Dean Kramer penciled in as your two or three, it's not the worst thing in the world. But they definitely pitch to their strengths and they definitely would have made the run last year that they made if it wasn't for the ballpark. But then again, it totally worked against them in the postseason with the Rangers. The Rangers were like, all right, let's just throw out a couple lefty starters here, or at least have our lefties go couple times through the order, and like these guys can't hurt us in this park, and that's exactly what we saw.
Yeah, that is exactly what we saw. As for Corbin Burns, it must have been a little bit of a surprise for you. I mean, again, this is new, like to see Baltimore as a buyer, and you know, a lot of these players on this list are guys that they drafted. Of course, you have Adley Rutschman here, number one catcher last year in fantasy. He's the number one catcher off the board in fantasy drafts. And, you know, you have to spend a pick here at top 50. And it's important to reference this style over at NFBC. You have to have two catchers. So, I mean, some people are pretty aggressive grabbing their catchers, but 2019 first overall picker, high in homers last year, 20, 80 RBI, 84 runs, 277 average, double digit walk rate. Only struck out 14% of the time. Again, I think there's just more room for this guy to grow. I loved seeing him at the home run derby, just go to both sides of the plate. What an absolute boss. But as for Corbin Burns, let's be real about some of his numbers here. Last year wasn't a great campaign for him. It was fine, but it was his worst of his last three in Milwaukee. Like a 35% strikeout rate to 30 in 2021 and 2022, just 25% last year, but still racked up 200 strikeouts for the third straight year. The walk rate back up to 3/9, like his early days in the MLB, 3.39 ERA, you know, after three seasons of sub-2, but I think that's the norm. You know, there's not a lot of sub-2s, sub-3s rather in Major League Baseball anymore for pitchers. Not a lot of them anyways. But the move to Baltimore, that has to be a win, right? I mean, going from Milwaukee, like that's a better pitcher's park now. Hey, Camden, is it not?
No, for sure. And Burns hasn't necessarily had trouble with home runs in his career, but this is right exactly where you want to go if you're a pitcher. And he made some changes in the second half of last season, I think, with some pitch shapes or even grips. He started throwing his pitches a little bit differently, and he had a pretty great second half. I know his strikeout percentage increased by about 5% in the second half, and he looked more kind of like the vintage Burns and the guy that we were kind of expecting, at least in the first half. But yeah, their biggest pitching acquisition before this was like Ubaldo Jimenez, who they gave, I don't know, $65 million to or whatever it is. I think that's like the biggest contract they've still given out to pitchers, maybe him or Alex Cobb. So it is a little different than what I've been used to. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, you mentioned Adley at the All-Star game. That was probably one of my highlights of last year. It was just really cool to see an Oriole, a franchise player, such a young guy, going out there, not only mashing home runs, but everybody was loving it, and he was having a great time as well. That's why we're fans.
Yeah, absolutely. It was so fun to see him take that in as a young player and just do great on both sides of the plate too. It's pretty impressive. What's the expectations here from Grayson? 122 innings last year, 23 starts, 9.52 K per nine, 3.10 walks per nine. He had the 4.35 ERA, but a 3.78 xFIP. What do you think? Like, can he get up to 170-ish innings here in year number two? And are those numbers that he had in his rookie season kind of on par here and what he can do as a sophomore?
Yeah, I definitely think we'll see him get up to like over 175 innings. And he's another guy that it wasn't a second half change, but he made a big change once he was sent down the first time. He talked about how he just didn't necessarily trust his stuff enough, which is totally normal for a rookie, no matter how big of a prospect they are. But when he came back, he said he tried to establish his fastball again. And it was something that like he thought that he might've gotten too cute his first time up. So he just went back to being the power pitcher and just trusting his stuff. And we saw his numbers really improve, the strikeout percentages and even the ERA and just across the board after he was recalled for the second time. And he was dominant, man. Him and Bradish were a legit 1-2 punch. And I'm expecting him to be the number two behind Burns and to be, you know, probably an all-star this year.
Yeah, I would say he's flirting with all-star status would be a nice goal and probably something we'll see. Craig Kimbrell is on that list, of course. No Batista, unfortunately, with the Tommy John. But I see Vlad's rankings here. He's got him roughly relief pitcher 15-ish. We got the ADP here of 123. Should be his job anyways. Like, I don't know if you think anybody could cut in if he struggles or if there's anyone knocking on the door or if there's anybody else on this list on the way out of here that you feel could be like a sneaky little addition, maybe not an addition, but like a fantasy asset. Like Mullins, he loses a leadoff spot, right? I mean, that's going to be Henderson's job day to day.
I don't know if they're facing a lefty. I think depending on the split will depend on where Henderson hits in the lineup. For some, like, I guess sleepers, we're talking about Kimbrell. I think they kind of like Hall was a guy that I thought could potentially take some saves away from Kimbrell, but they dealt him to the Brewers. Tate is another back on the reliever, but I think Kimbrell's pretty safe in that closer's job. And then Tyler Wells, who I expected them to use the back end of the bullpen as well, will now probably be in the rotation. But those are, I guess, that'll probably be the main guys that they play on the back end of the pen there.
Love it. Any final words here before we get out of here on the O's? I know we talked in the green room about the schedule, a little bit of a soft start for them. So maybe they can get that lead. And hey, if you are big on Baltimore winning the division, maybe get it now, because if they do have a wicked April, that number will just be a lot shorter at the end of it.
Yeah, I do think that you could probably, if you like the Yankees, you can probably wait on them a little bit, given the Orioles' really soft schedule. I mean, we were talking with Vlad, and it's clear that they have the softest schedule in baseball, at least for April. Not too many tough opponents. I know they end the month with the Yankees. But yeah, I'll be looking at some Orioles' bets, at least for the first month of the season, when that market comes out.
Give me a prediction. Where do they finish in the division? Do they win it again?
Well, last year I had them at third or fourth. I'll probably put them second or third today in this division this year as well. I don't expect them to win it.
No. I think that they will. I think the Bradish injury is really, really tough. Maybe they do something else. I just don't. We'll get into the Yankees.
Well, that's the tough thing, right? Like, there are still pieces out there that could make significant changes to our expectations for these teams. And that's what makes it a little bit difficult at this point. But I was actually willing to potentially back them to win the division before the Bradish injury. I just think that this makes their rotation just a little too thin.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like, yeah, moving up a step or two with Burns, and then it's like a couple steps back after the Bradish injury. But as we get into the Yankees in a little bit, and again, on our YouTube page to check out the Yankees, always going to get the respect from Vegas, whether you believe in them or not. But a team that hasn't been able to stay healthy themselves over the past couple of seasons up and down their lineup. And we'll see what happens with New York, but yeah, that's it for Baltimore. I would say it's a pretty decent shot, man. Like a lot of, just again, to wrap up We talked about the number. I think AL East at plus 235. I could see them coming second at worst, just being in the pitcher here to win the AL East. And a good step forward for them last year is, again, scratching the surface. And some of these younger players, I think, could just get better. And I like a lot of these fantasy assets. I'm not a big draft a pitcher early, but I'm comfortable if you want to do Burns near the end of the second round. Definitely like Henderson and Rutschman and Rodriguez. We talked about Kimbrel there, and then some guys in the middle part of your draft, like even towards the end there, Mountcastle, first base, and got some pop there. And you know the lineup's going to score some runs. So love it. Sure. Again,
yep, if they actually do make the playoffs, meaning like now having legitimate ace sets up the rotation a lot better than it did last season.
Having a guy like Corbin Burns to take the ball game one is a massive plus. I mean, he's the third pitcher off the board on average in fantasy drafts. It's Strider, Cole, and then Burns. So he's still very, very much elite. And I think his numbers could even be better in Baltimore. Like you said, doesn't give up a lot of homers anyways, but it's a good ballpark for him. Check out ftnfantasy.com/pricing. You can use promo code Seager5 for all the goods. I'm telling you, there is a slew of content, and Vlad has all the goats in the industry. I know you have a piece in the kit as well, and we'll be with you, Dream and I, throughout the baseball season, giving some picks and some bets. So FTN wins, so, the promo code for you there.
I'll say one thing about the guide. Even if you don't play fantasy baseball, I do one redraft pretty much. The information can still benefit you for the gambling side as well. There's just a lot of sharp guys, and just the way they approach their draft and the players and how they break it down is incredibly helpful, even if you're not really a big fantasy guy.
Yeah, I would double down on that too. Like articles from Nick Pollock from Pitcher's List. This is really, really detailed. I love the closer article from Greg Jewett. Even if you're not a fantasy guy, just some really cool information of how, you know, the game has changed from the closer position, which we have seen firsthand with a lot of managers across the league, maybe shorter leashes on some starters and how they go about closing games out and bullpens and things like that. So it's a lot of really cool information in there. And again, we have the link inside the description of this video. So from MLB Dream, myself, Chris Meany, appreciate you guys. All you O's fans, I think you're in for another hell of a ride this season. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for watching.